Okay, if you will tell them to, we're going to get more food out.
300 people are crowding a packed ballroom at the Embassy Suites in Montgomery, and there's more at issue today than just keeping the coffee pots full. Some in the audience carry badges and have guns on their hips. Others are in business attire, while still more are dressed casually.
Good morning. Can I have your attention, please? We want to go ahead and get started. It's 9 o'clock on the dot.
Today is the 5th annual Alabama Human Trafficking Summit, and everyone in the audience works on some aspect of the subject. The list of speakers includes pretty much something for everyone. That doesn't keep one participant from bringing up one issue on her own.
So I think probably we have more familial trafficking.
That's Teresa Collier. She's with the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, also known as ALEA. She's considered to be the state's point person on human trafficking. Collier works for ALEA's Fusion Center, which deals in intelligence. That means she spends a lot of time interacting with federal and local law enforcement. Collier also does lots of interviews in the field with victims of human trafficking in Alabama, and she says she's noticed a pattern.
You might have a mom that, the only way she can keep her house or her wherever she's staying is to let her landlord have access, sexual access to her kid. That sort of thing happens quite a bit.
In other words, familial trafficking.
The abuse started for me with him just before my first birthday.
Kelly Dorr is a survivor.
And then it transpired and when I was about 2.5 to 3, where he was allowing other people to abuse me.
With familial trafficking, instead of someone coming in from the outside, a mother or father or an aunt or an uncle is the trafficker and a younger family member is the victim. You've heard from survivors who describe how traffickers preyed on their weaknesses to draw them in. Kelly Dorr says her experience was more direct.
He had threatened over and over that he would kill my mother, he would kill my brother, he would kill my grandparents on my mom's side. And so you go into a protective stage because you know exactly what that perpetrator is going to do to you. You know what they're capable of.
Teresa Collier says she's concerned familial trafficking in Alabama isn't just an issue. It could very well be the issue.
The only reason I say that I feel like there's as much familial pimping is just because of my role as a forensic interviewer, and I know what I have seen.
So I'd say that's likely, of course.
That's Wendy Bradford. She lives in Jackson, Mississippi. Bradford's support of Teresa Collier's position comes with a condition, and it's a big one.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I would probably say what everyone else said to me before we started the project. You've got to have the numbers.
Collier says the project Bradford is referring to is why she considers Mississippi to be pretty much the gold standard when it comes to measuring familial trafficking.
Basically, they took 4 counties in rural Mississippi and they surveyed the children's advocacy centers and other victim service providers just to find out what is the most common type of trafficking you're seeing here, and it was familial.
So we hit the road for Jackson, Mississippi to meet with Bradford.
I was the liaison of the project. I was one of the authors of the project, one of the editors of the project.
The human trafficking group Shared Hope teamed up with Bellhaven University. Bradford founded the support group Beautiful Ones Ministry, which also took part. 36 interviews were conducted in the 4 counties surrounding Jackson. Bradford says prosecutors were invited to talk, along with judges, service providers, law enforcement, and governmental agencies.
And so nobody really, really knew what the problem was. Most people were like, oh, we don't have that here, like most other states or in small towns. Oh, we don't have that here.
But the study said otherwise. Familial trafficking was identified during interviews as the most common form of exploitation, more than gang-related, run-of-the-mill pimp activity, or survival sex. That's where minors sell sexual favors for either food or drugs. Bradford says a lack of education was one common factor leading to familial trafficking, but there was one more.
I knew that poverty obviously is an issue in Mississippi. It's an issue just about anywhere in any state that you have. We just happen to be at the bottom end of the barrel. And that's not a very popular answer, but it's true. It's just true.
A general lack of awareness of trafficking was pointed out as an issue. Bradford also says there were sympathy gaps among the officials who sat down to talk.
It was so clear that they were looking at teenagers as prostitutes, calling them those names.
Bradford says that was especially troubling because the people being questioned were the ones handling child sex trafficking cases.
you can't bring awareness to that. You can't open somebody's eyes to that at the place where they were. And I wasn't sure even how to do that, so we didn't. We just cut the interview short.
The final report in Mississippi also points to cultural issues that make some families more prone to trafficking their own children. That doesn't appear to be a new topic.
You know, a few years ago, looking back, it was probably about 20 years ago.
That's Kelly Dorr again. Earlier, she described her experience as a victim of familial trafficking. She lives in Colorado. APR sought her out for an interview not just because she's a survivor, but what she did about it. Dorr currently helps write anti-trafficking legislation on the state and federal level. That interest was not only prompted by her own abuse, but by an experience she had as an undergrad in college. Dora says she accompanied a professor to the Ozarks on a speaking tour.
And she was talking about that, you know, it's not normal to have sexual relations with members in your family. And, you know, if someone in your family has been abusing you or perpetrating on you, then, you know, what are your rights? You have the ability to report it to authorities and seek help.
Dora says that's when the situation went a little sideways.
Several of the women sort of got uncomfortable, and then they got up and started walking away.
Dorr chased after them to ask what was wrong, and they told her.
In our culture and with our families, if you are a woman who is over the age of 16 and you have not been had by a male member of your family, you're not considered a woman.
Wendy Bradford agrees with the notion of culture playing a role in familial trafficking, but her point is that no one should consider this just a Southern thing.
Why wouldn't that kind of stuff occur with poverty? It happens on the other side of the world, in Cambodia. I visited Cambodia. The poverty over there, I mean, you are celebrated if you have a girl. So, because the girl's going to provide for you through trafficking.
But how does all of this figure into potential familial trafficking in Alabama? Bradford agrees that Alabama and Mississippi look a lot alike in terms of rural population, poverty, and a lack of education. All of these elements were pointed out in Mississippi's report as factors related to familial trafficking, but Bradford says that's not enough.
Unless someone is willing to pick up the torch and do the research and go through some type of thing like we went through and say, okay, so, hey guys, here are our statistics in Alabama. They told me we weren't going to move forward unless we had statistics, that we were not going to get support.
Back at the Human Trafficking Summit in Montgomery, Teresa Collier is getting ready to attend a few more talks before her afternoon breakout session on law enforcement. Once she wraps up here, it's back to her regular job and the tough sell she says she's been experiencing on familial trafficking.
I tell law enforcement and also the DAs, hey, this is a trafficking case, and whether they want to pursue that or not, most of the time they don't, because it's just easier to do a lesser type of charge, you know, just like a sex abuse or something like that. It's just easier for them.
And both the tough sell and the tough audience that goes with it shows no apparent signs of changing, at least not yet. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Montgomery.